In the name of Jesus, who lived a perfect life in our place as our substitute and who bled and died on the cross to take the horrible punishment for all of our sins, who rose again from the dead to give you and me a new life with him that will last forever. Amen. Please be seated. I bring you greetings this afternoon from Mission Central in Mapleton, Iowa, which is about 1,000 miles to the east of here, where I have the privilege of serving and sharing the stories of our missionaries who are telling the good news about Jesus all around the world. Because for all of us at Mission Central, and certainly for all of you here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, it truly is all about Jesus, isn't it? Say that with me. It's all about Jesus. One more time. It's all about Jesus. And now with Lutheran gusto, it's all about Jesus. Indeed, today as we rejoice here in this place, in the presence of Jesus, we celebrate the Lord's shining appearance on the mountain. Today marks the end of the Epiphany season because Lent begins this week with Ash Wednesday. Epiphany is a season filled with light, isn't it? It began back in January when the light of the star guided the wise men to Jesus, the light of the world. And today it ends with the brilliant light of the transfigured Christ on top of his mountain. The transfiguration is our Lord's big epiphany before his suffering and death in Jerusalem. It is the biggest and brightest revelation of who Jesus is as the Son of God. That day when his appearance was changed and the light of his divine glory shined through his humanity. But it's also a preview. A lot of times we forget this. It's a preview of the glory that you and I will share when Jesus comes again to raise the dead and to give to those who trust in him a share in his eternal glory. My friends, the transfiguration shows us that there's more to Jesus than meets the eye. If you were to look at Jesus, you would see nothing more than a carpenter from Nazareth. Nothing special, nothing out of the ordinary, but here on this mountain, Jesus lets his divine nature shine through his humanity. And this is important because in a very real sense, Jesus is saying to his disciples, in the days ahead, terrible things are going to happen. Things that will shake your confidence in me. Things that will actually get you to doubt and even deny me. But have no fear, because I am no ordinary man. I am God in the flesh, the Lord who has come to save you. In a few short weeks, you will see me hanging dead on a cross. But don't be afraid. I am the Lord who shines with the glory of God. Look at me now. Look at me now and remember this day on that dark Good Friday. Remember, always remember that no matter what happens in this life, I am who I say I am. And I will always do what I say I will do. But Jesus isn't the only one on that mountain, is he? Alongside the glorious Christ, we have Moses and Elijah. Now, in their earthly lives, Moses and Elijah always directed God's people's attention ahead. Always ahead. Always ahead to the promised Savior. And now, they were directing these New Testament disciples in the same way. They were talking with Jesus about his departure. The word literally means exodus. They were discussing the events that were about to take place in Jerusalem. The Lord's exodus in his suffering, death, and resurrection. Moses had led God's people out of the bondage of Egypt. And now Jesus was leading God's people out of the bondage of sin and death. Through his suffering and death into the promised land of resurrection and eternal life with God. And for those three disciples there, it was a bit of heaven here on earth. Jesus glorified. And Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Heaven and earth had come together on top of that mountain. And Peter, James, and John were privileged to see it. Oh, the joy they must have experienced to see this brief glimpse of heaven on earth. But the same sort of thing happens right here in this place every week, doesn't it? Here on this mountaintop that we call the Divine Service, the Lord Jesus appears to his disciples, not in glory, but in humility. Moses and Elijah preach to us here. They preach to us the law and the prophets. And Jesus is with us in his presence right here with all the glory and power of his death and resurrection. The one who conquered sin and death is right here with us, right now. He proclaims his word to us. He forgives our sins. He delivers his gifts to us of forgiveness, life, and salvation in his Holy Supper right here at this altar. And like the disciples, we grow drowsy, don't we? We get sleepy, even bored in the presence of God. Heaven comes to earth right here in this place in word and sacrament, and we can't wait for the service to be over. My friends, it's important for us to remember that this spiritual drowsiness is not due to a lack of sleep. This is the sleepiness of our sinful nature, the drowsiness of our old Adam. I know that sometimes when I sit down to read my Bible or to pray, I get the case of the heavy eyes. My eyelids feel like they're about 100 pounds, and I can't seem to stay awake no matter how hard I try. You know the feeling. Sometimes it even happens to us right here in church when we nod off during the sermon, and I see you out there. We all struggle with spiritual sleepiness, don't we? Because this drowsiness is the sinful nature that infects us all, each one of us, trying to get us to avoid God's word. And if we're not asleep, then like Peter, we're building or doing something. So whether they keep us drowsy or busy, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature are determined to prevent us from being with Jesus, spending time with the glorified Christ to keep us from this heaven on earth event. That's why it's so hard to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Thankfully, we have church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But it's not so hard to get up to go fishing or golfing or go on some trip or a host of other activities. That's why we'll pay good money to sit through 2 or 3 hours of a movie or a ball game, but we can't sit still for 60 minutes in order to be rescued from sin and death. That's our sinful nature at work, driving us to drowsiness or busyness. It's our darkened hearts and our deafened ears. It's our sin and our death at work in us that makes us so indifferent to God's word and to treat it so lightly. Hey, Pastor, I'll spend time with Jesus. I'll spend time with Jesus only if there's nothing better to do. But God is so gracious, isn't he? He is so gracious to you and to me and to Peter, James, and John. He surrounds them with a thick cloud, so thick that they can't see a thing. Nothing's going to distract them now. Then he preaches his word into them, doesn't he? The same word that we heard at our Lord's baptism just a few weeks ago. This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. His words alone are filled with spirit and life. His words alone are the words of eternal life. Moses can't save you. All his words can do is drive you to Jesus. Elijah can't save you. His words can only promise the coming Savior, but Jesus alone fulfills the work of Moses and Elijah. He alone has the words that open the kingdom of heaven to us. Jesus alone has the forgiveness that takes away our sins. Jesus alone has the power over death to raise the dead and to bring them into the promised land of eternal life. And you know something, my friend? This crucified and risen Jesus has called you out of the darkness. He has called you out of the darkness of your sin and your death into his marvelous and eternal light. He has enlightened you in your baptism, where you received a share in his glory because you received there at a font a share in his death and resurrection. Yes, indeed, you are co-heirs of Jesus in his kingdom, and you have a bright and eternal future ahead of you, filled with the glorious presence of Jesus. And even though you don't see Jesus this afternoon with these eyes, like Peter, James, and John did on that mountain, Jesus still comes to you here in this place, humbly and hidden. He comes to you in the water of holy baptism. He comes to you here in the preaching and the teaching of his word. He comes to you here in bread and wine that deliver to you his body and blood, which was shed and given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, how good it is for us to be here today. How good it is for us to be here on this mountain with Jesus. And that's why we tell other people about Jesus, isn't it? That's why we send and support missionaries to tell other people about Jesus, because we want them to have what we have. We want them to have the forgiveness and life, the comfort and joy, the hope and the peace that we have that comes from Jesus alone. We tell other people about Jesus who are drowning in the darkness and the guilt of their sins, because we want them to know Jesus and the gifts that he brings to us here in his word and in his supper. And like I said before, and it bears repeating, maybe we can't go to all those lands of darkness that we talked about in our Bible class this afternoon, where they so desperately need to hear about Jesus. But we can certainly send someone in our place. That's why we do what we do at Mission Central, to build personal relationships between our missionaries on the field and those who pray for and support them here at home. How many of you here this afternoon know that you can actually adopt your very own missionary? Raise your hand. Just what I thought. That's why I'm here, because we can give you an opportunity to do that. At our display table right there at the back of the sanctuary, we have some information about three of our missionaries who are serving the Lord on the field and how you can personally contact them and let them know that you are praying for them. And if you would like to adopt one of these missionaries, maybe help to support them on the field, we can certainly help you with that as well. I hope that each family here today will pick up a picture of one of our missionaries, hang it on your refrigerator, and in your personal and family devotions, remember to pray for your missionary every day. My friends, always remember this. Don't ever forget it, that Jesus comes to you here on this mountain that we call Bethlehem Lutheran Church. He comes to you humbly and hidden, but just as glorious. Just as glorious. The very same Jesus who is shining on that mountain today shines into our hearts by the word that he proclaims to us here in this place, the word that he speaks to us right now. And one day soon, you and I will shine with his visible radiance, along with Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John, and the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. This is the glory of the one holy Christian and apostolic church that we just confessed together a moment ago in the Nicene Creed. This is your glory, my friend, as a baptized child of God. It is the glory that Jesus has given to you through faith in him as your Savior. He is the light that no darkness will ever overcome. Because Jesus is the light of the world that we share with the world. Because as we all know, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise as we pray to the Lord.